Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's Fielder?
He's gone to the dogs.
Welcome once again, my friends, from the world headquarters of the Gone to the Dogs podcast in West Central Florida, 2 miles from the Gulf of America. This is Steve Fielder, your host. I'm freshly back home from a trip to Pennsylvania hunting with the Lone Pine Tree and Walkers. And if you listen to the podcast immediately preceding this one, you know that I was with Randy and Troy Smith for 7 days. We had a great time, had a great hunt. We got to experience a lot of different things. We hunted bunnies with beagles. We hunted coons with those lone pine tree walkers. And we also hunted pheasants with Chip Kozer and his Boykin Spaniel Milo. So we put in about 7 days there and nights of just an extremely good trip. Now, normally, this would be a podcast looking forward to my trip to the White River National Wildlife Refuge in Arkansas, in the Delta of Arkansas, just west of the Mississippi River. I made a very tough decision. I'll get my mouth right here, hopefully. I made a tough decision to forego my trip to the White River this year. It will be the first. This would have been the 16th year. Nubbin Moore first invited me out to the White River with his group out there in 2009. The rains, the floods came, and we had to cancel the trip. But in 2010, I made my first trip out to Maddox Bay, and where we stayed in a cabin there for several years, had some great times. Our group at that time included Mr. Fred Sanders, Gary Frog Hayes, Kenneth Rains, Nubbin, and myself. That was our original group. And we rocked on there for a while, and then Randy Smith of Mississippi joined us, and soon brought along his friend and a guy that I've just really grown to love and appreciate, Morris Hardy. Morris is from right there in Batesville, Arkansas, where the Winter Classic is held. So, and then as things begin to progress, we saw Jamie Perrin and his son Trey join our group along about that time. Frog, because of his family obligations, had to forego the annual trips, and then of course Mr. Sanders passed away. So things changed. You know, the more they stay the same, the more they change. I flipped that old saying backwards, but anyway, this year was a busy fall for me. I had planned a trip up to Katanning, Pennsylvania. We'd planned for quite a while with Randy Smith, and unfortunately, Randy's mother, Shirley, passed away, and we had to postpone the trip by a couple of weeks. Sure did miss seeing her on my trip up there. What a wonderful lady she was. And so the Pennsylvania trip came a couple weeks later than expected. And then this year we had planned our White River trip, for the week before Thanksgiving. We usually go on the week after. So with all that combined, and then I think the kicker was, after those 7 days of hunting, day and night, literally, this old boy was pretty tired. And then, lo and behold, the airline's flight on Monday night out of Pittsburgh was delayed and didn't get home till about 2:30 in the morning. Now, I had promised Ella, my faithful wife and companion and my chief executive officer, that I would help her put the Christmas decorations up before I went to White River. Christmas is something that she loves to do each year, and she makes our home really a beautiful, comfortable, warm experience every Christmas. But anyway, I got to thinking, I said, man, I've got 2 days to drive to White River. Usually drive up one day and overnight with Nub and Moore. And then we drive on over to the Delta. And then on the trip back, you know, a day back to Nubbins and then another day back to Florida. So that's out of the 10-day trip, I'm driving four of those days. Not getting any younger, friends. And as all of this came together in a wad, I said, I cried calf rope, if you know what that is, you Southern boys do. And some of you might call it uncle. And I said, I'm just not going to be able to do it all this year. So here I sit recording this podcast, and on this coming Sunday, when I normally would be driving up to Nub and Moore's, I'll be here in Florida. So for those of you who are wondering why I'm not going this year, I'm not mad at anybody. Nobody hurt my feelings. Nobody kicked my dog. I'm just a little bit weary and decided we'd just forego it. Now, if I were to be totally honest with you, and I do try to do that on this podcast, I will admit that the White River Refuge ain't what she used to be. When I first started going to Maddox Bay with Nubbin and the group that I mentioned, there were a lot of raccoons. And we liked to hunt the area in the north unit there around Lower Eagle's Nest, an area we called the Pipeline. Wonderful hunting. I've often talked about how we hunted that area. We basically were on our four-wheelers at that time. I don't think anybody, maybe Frog had a side-by-side at that time for Mr. Sanders had his own four-wheeler at that time. And we would just stage there at the Lower Eagle's Nest parking area in the Kansas Lake section of the refuge. And we'd just head down the trail and go 100 yards and stop and kick a dog out one way and kick another dog out the other way and wait to one treat. You know, it was just hunting like that, and coons were fairly easy to strike. It was pretty rare for the dogs to go more than, you know, 300 yards to strike a coon. And so we, in those days, we had a real enjoyable time. A lot of time just standing around the four-wheeler waiting for the dogs to strike. I will say right up front, our group has never been a group that went to the White River for the purpose of stacking up as many coons as we could. I saw a picture one time that really kind of disturbed me, and I might as well, true confessions are good for the soul. A party of hunters there staying at Maddox Bay had piled up, I believe, 80 coon carcasses on the driveway in front of their cabin. Why? You know, why would you want to take that many coons? And, of course, at times it's good to thin the resource down. There's no question about it. Disease gets in them. Distemper particularly is very hard on a raccoon population. And if the hunters don't take the coons out, nature will. So I'm not against killing coons, no way. But I just wonder, if you go to the White River solely for the purpose of seeing how many carcasses you can stack up, you and I are not the same. Let's just put it that way, okay? I like to go for the course, the fellowship. And that's, you know, we've had a evolution there in places that we've stayed. We stayed at a cabin for several years at Maddox Bay. But as our group grew, and then, of course, the ownership of Maddox Bay, due to the death of the lady that Janice that ran that facility, that marina there, and bait shop. You know, when she passed away, then the Maddox Bay marina or whatever was sold. And or closed, actually. So we lost that place, and then we acquired, I think it was in 2017, we first went over to a mobile home at Indian Bay there and stayed a couple of years, maybe three, but I believe it was two. And it was not the best accommodations. You know, it really wasn't. It was a roof over our heads, let's put it that way. But, you know, we had a good time, had great fellowship there. And then we found the Great Plains Waterfowl Lodge there in St. Charles. And that was my favorite place to stay. You know, it was a duck hunting lodge with all the amenities, a nice large commercial kitchen, large lounging areas that are reminiscent of the big deer and elk hunting lodges out west. And just had a great time there, and everybody had their own bedroom, and it was just a wonderful place to stay. And as things happened, Brian Womack, who ran that operation as a Christian outreach retreat center and worked us in between the split deer seasons, duck seasons, he also decided to sell that lodge. And so we lost that. And through the efforts, I think, of our friend John Stortz, I think Morse Hardy worked with him on that. We secured a cabin out at Holly Grove there, not very far from the Lower Eagle's Nest, Kansas Lake area. And that's where we intended to stay this year. And that's where the fellows will be. And then our friend Matt Collins, a local hunter that lives in Marianna, Arkansas, has a cabin there near Sweat's Camp. Those of you who have been out to the White River know where Sweat's Camp is. It was the scene of some PKC hunts in years past. And I believe it was the location that Jarvis Umphers and Ed Beard and those fellows chose to first hold their black and tan reunion that's held each year at Thanksgiving. That reunion moved over to Marianna, Arkansas, to the church camp there. And our good friend Philip over there and Kevin and Carl Meinhardt was there, and you know, they continue to have that each year. And we usually get there the week following that reunion. But anyway, I kind of get to rambling there, as I'm prone to do. I had to take a short break there. I was speaking about Philip and Kevin Heron over Marianna, that have the youth camp over there where their Black and Tan reunion is held, but and got off onto them talking about Matt Collins, who has a cabin there at Sweat's Camp. And so a couple of our guys, I think Jamie and Trey Perrin, are going to stay over there. We really don't have a very large camp there where we are at Holly Grove. So, but we made do, and going from Maddox Bay over to the trailer at Indian Bay and then up to the lodge in St. Charles, and then finally to a cabin in Holly Grove. So that's been the progression of the hunts over the years. But I've noticed as the years have gone by, the coons are not there the way they were originally. And I don't really believe it's hunting pressure that has caused the decline. Some of the local fellas that are naysayers, they don't like to see the well, there's one in particular, and he'll remain nameless, that disparages the coon hunters from coming each year. But I don't believe that they have been the sole reason. But certainly, guys go out there, and I think they forget to conserve. So there's been quite a few hunters there the last few years. My observations are that actually the hunting pressure around the north in the North Union is not nearly as high as it was when I first started going there. Now, I didn't start hunting the South Unit until the last couple of years. And it opens on December 1st and is open for 2 weeks. And the pressure is pretty intense on the South Unit, but it's open only for 2 weeks. But for whatever reason, you know, you just don't hit the coons and in the numbers, and it's just not quite as much fun to me. I've seen some tough nights out there where it was hard to strike a coon. And then, you know, there's been some storms through there that have altered the trails. As I look back, what I call my glory years at the White River, the trails were in great repair. And as I said, you know, we'd just kind of take it easy if we were hunting around Kansas Lake or as the pipeline, we call it, or anywhere off of Brown Chaney Road, any of those trails. It was just a matter of going out, stopping, and casting a dog right or left. But if you haven't been to the White River, I certainly invite you or encourage you to go. You need to go, if nothing more, to see that big bottomland timber in the delta there and experience that for yourself. You really need to do that. Now, on that subject, in the last few years, there's been a lot of timbering in that area. A lot of those big virgin hardwoods are being taken out. And for what reason, I have no clue except for greed. It was pristine when I first went there 10, 15 years ago. And now you do encounter logging activity. I first noticed it probably 4 or 5 years ago. And and as I would sit on the porch in the morning with my coffee at the lodge there in St. Charles, I'd see the log trucks go by. And it would really give me a sting, you know, down in my gut to see that timber rolling down the highway when it's so majestic and beautiful and serene, and to be able to walk through those woods. The underbrush is usually taken care of by the flooding that occurs there. But there's still plenty of that to see. So don't let this old guy here, you know, influence you to stay home. My reason for staying home this year is very largely due to my age. I make no bones about it. I'll be 80 years old next fall. So it's time for a guy like me to slow down a bit. haven't quit by any stretch. And I just, you know, I've always enjoyed the sport, but it's tougher. It's a lot tougher. And the reason I go to Pennsylvania each year is that Randy Smith just accommodates a guy my age so incredibly well. Having, you know, grown up in the area where he hunts, you know, it's never a long walk to a tree. And, of course, we get to pick and choose. If it's uphill or downhill, I usually stay at the buggy. If it's flat, I go. I'll give you a little assessment at the risk of sounding like a crotchety old man talking about his ailments. I suffer from vertigo. If you've never had vertigo, you don't know what you're missing, but I certainly don't wish it upon you. That means my balance is not good. You can stand and look up and turn slightly to the right or left, and your world goes into a spin. You can imagine how that's difficult for a guy shining trees over a coonhound's head. I will say that in my Pennsylvania trip, my vertigo was virtually non-existent. But there's still, and then here's another ailment. My knees are really bad these days. And I know that I have a torn meniscus in at least one of them. I know that I have arthritis in my knees. I know that sometimes when I try to stoop down or bend down, it's just bone on bone scraping. I'm not going to get knee surgery at my age. My dad was 87 actually, when he had hip replacement surgery. And it did not bode well for him. He mowed his lawn the week he went in the hospital, and he was never able really to walk again. I know a knee replacement is not that invasive. My wife has had one and did very, very well with it, but that was about, 7 or 8 years ago. So anyway, cranky knees. And my Aunt Lena, great Aunt Lena, used to say, swimmy headed. You know, it's coon hunting is a challenge for me. But that being said, I still love it. I love every aspect of it. I still love to hear a hound strike a track, get that sucker moving, come on that tree with a nice locate and roll it over to that chop. And I love to walk into the tree and see those eyes up there. And I know you all do. And this is a Coon Hunters podcast, and this is what it's all about. Talking about my ailments, I feel a little ashamed of myself. On my trip to Pennsylvania, I told Randy Smith, we knew that on the last day, the day I'd be flying back, that my flight was scheduled for late Monday evening. And so we were going to, we had been invited by Chip Kozer of Elite Nutrition. You know, Chip's grandfather, Russ Kozer, developed the Joy Dog Food Company. And then Chip's dad, Chip, ran the company and was involved and in charge when I was at PKC. So I got to see Chip at quite a few events. And then he, in turn, sold the company. And the present Chip Kozer, of which I speak, of course, is the grandson of Russ. And he worked for Joy after Wade Grasowitz, I hope I'm pronouncing Wade's last name right, bought the company. And then Chip went with Elite Nutrition. They make all kinds of supplements for dogs and humans. And I think that Choi dog food is the Elite is the largest, if not one of the largest, if not the largest distributor of Choi dog food. So anyway, that relationship is still very close. But I knew that we were going to be able to go into be able to go hunting with Chip on Monday morning, pheasant hunting. And so when that was over, we would have some time before my flight to go by and visit Randy's longtime partner in the Lone Pine Dogs, Tom Strang. Now, Tom lives in Washington, Pennsylvania, which is south of Randy. And if you know Tom, I don't know all the exact details, but Tom was building a new home, and the home was completed, and it's beautiful. It's a log home. But in the construction of the home, there was an accident in which Tom fell from the loft of the home. And the result was that he has been now for several years paralyzed. He's a paraplegic. And, but what a guy. I mean, what would have probably killed most of us, Tom, it only made Tom stronger, I think. He's been an amazing guy. He's competed in every kind of competition you can think of, these wheelchair races. And all more recently, he's been fishing in tournaments and winning awards right and left in those tournaments and all. And he and his lovely wife, Agnes, greeted us there Monday, and we sat down at their table, Randy and Troy Smith, Tom and Agnes and I, and just had a wonderful, wonderful visit. As if that physical tragedy wasn't enough, they suffered here just a few years ago a horrible house fire that started in their basement and required a lot of repair and so forth. In fact, I think they lived in a hotel for a year. Can you imagine that, especially with Tom's challenges? But the mind is still sharp. The love for the terrain walker is still there. And hearing Tom tell the stories of Toby and Ellie and the different dogs that he and Randy have had together over the years. Just a great, great experience for me. I hadn't seen Tom since 2016 in Greencastle, Indiana, when, you know, they won the UKC World Championship with the Lone Pine Biffy Sue female. And that started my friendship with Tom and with Randy and ultimately with Troy. And it's just been a great trip. It's hard for me to imagine that that's going to be 10 years this coming fall, next fall. So time flies when you're having fun. But anyway, it was great to be able to visit with the Strangs and just wish them the very best going forward many, many more years of good health despite the challenges that come our way. You know, when I talk about my aches and pains, you know, I'm reminded when I'm in the company of someone like Tom, you know, when I complain about getting up out of a chair, I can still do that. And for Tom, you know, it's something that requires a lot of effort. Anyway, so got on that old Allegiant jet at Pittsburgh Airport. It was late. It was about 10 o'clock, I guess, or thereabout when it took off for the Southland, and about a 2-hour and 20-minute flight. And my brother Randy, who lives in Florida now, picked me up at the airport. I guess we got home. I got in bed about 2:30. So it's been a tiring week for me. I just totally crashed on Tuesday. And hopefully this podcast is going to make the publisher. Colby Moorhead has been great, despite my tardiness at times. But anyway, as far as upcoming plans, the next event that I'll attend, good Lord willing, will be the Grand American in Orangeburg, South Carolina. I don't know for sure where I'll be hanging out this year because Full Cry, I don't think Full Cry will be there, but they may. And we normally are in the booth there in the White Vendor Barn. Everybody that comes to Grand American knows where I hang out, and sure appreciate it, people coming by. And it's just a great gathering spot there, you know, for the hunters. But I'm not sure we'll be there. I do know that there will be a booth in the dog barn. My partner, hunting buddy, partner in Plot Hounds, Mark Miller, will be there with our Fever and Ghost dogs, in with the banners and all that, in the dog barn there at Grand American. So you can come by there if you'd like, and sure like to visit with you. This podcast is going to be a little short this week, folks. There's just not a lot for me to report. I had hoped that we would get one in here this week. I have a special guest that I'm working on here, and have been promised a commitment, or have been given a commitment that he will appear. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I will tell you that he is a very familiar star on a very popular TV program. Let's just leave it that for now. Give you a little bit of suspense. I want to crow just a little bit before I go today, talk about these bear pen plots. You know, you've got dogs in the backyard, in the kennel. You're proud of them. You, when they go to town and do something, you want to tell people about it. I think you do. Some people just totally frown on that. Like, if you mention the achievements of your dog, you're just a braggart, and you're just, you know, full of yourself, and you need to get over it. Well, maybe some people are, and maybe that's what you think of me when I talk about my dogs. But you know what? I don't care. I enjoy my dogs. I'm very blessed to have some good ones. There's no way I could have those dogs and them having been able to accomplish what they did without partnerships and without friends. And Mark Miller has been a wonderful partner to me, and our friendship, I think he would tell you the same, is golden. We enjoy talking to each other. We enjoy talking dogs. We enjoy sharing the accomplishments of the dogs. And, man, I wish that I had, let me look right here just a moment. I was going to do the unpardonable sin and just read off a list of things here, and I'm not going to do that because that for sure would bore you. But let's just say we had a weekend here just recently where between Fever and his pups, they won a bunch of stuff. And the reason I say this to you, number one, is I'm proud of it. Number two, you know, you can have a lot of fun with these dogs. And UKC has developed some programs, as well as PKC and Pro Sport, of course, that allow you to have fun with your dogs. And just to mention what went on, Fever was hunted two nights and one cast both nights. Of course, he's a grand knight too, working toward the three. And he had luck in the bench show. He won a field trial overall, line and tree. He won a water race overall, line and tree. So the old boy just keeps cranking out the hits. And we've just been so blessed to have that dog. We really have. And he's a real joy. I will say that several of his pups won in the shows and in the field trials and water races over the weekend. Rip is one of those that got a night hunt win and a win in, I believe, in the water race. I believe he finished into champion. I'm going to miss some of them. I know the Jazzy female that belongs to the Kiever family. Jerry Price's dog, Voodoo, and Yeti, they both had wins that weekend. But the one I want to crow about a little bit, and you can bet I'll shut up afterwards, is old Boo, the dog we call Bear Pen Fever's Ghost, the one I raised in the house. Ellen and I drove up to Spartanburg, South Carolina, Pauline, South Carolina, to John Sapier's place and picked him up when he was about 8 or 9 weeks old, something like that, maybe a little older. Raised him up in the house, took him up to Mark's last May. Mark worked with him. He won a show champion title, a field champion title, and a water champion title. And lo and behold, he was entered in 8 casts, some of them doubleheaders, and he won 5, made night champion, and qualified for the tournament of champions. So if that doesn't make an old man's heart happy, I don't know what would. And if that's audacious and over the top for you to hear me tell you that about my dog. Actually, he's not all my dog anymore. Mark and Cody Fox, who hunts him, are partners. But, man, I'm proud of that young plot. He's just 15 months old. So if you got a dog like that that you're really proud of and you want to tell me about him and send me a message, put it on, Coonhound Conversations or Coon Hunting Conversations or whatever. And we'll talk about it on this podcast. In fact, if your story sounds good enough, I'll give you a call and we'll get you on and we'll talk about it right here. Hey, I'm not going to hog this microphone. I will gladly share it with you and hear your stories and about your dogs and bring you on the show. If you have a cell phone with a good connection, we can talk. Well, I'm looking at here almost 40 minutes, and I said this would be a short one, so I'm going to cut it off at this point. I believe this will air on November. Let's see where we are. Actually recording this on the 14th, and this will air on the 17th of November. So that's only about 10 days or so from Thanksgiving. So we'll have one more in before Thanksgiving Day on the 24th. But want to wish you and your family a terrific Thanksgiving holiday. I think it's one of those that's tailor-made for families to get together. Maybe invite that family member that you haven't talked to in a while and, get together, don't talk politics. If you're all coon hunters, don't get arrogant about your breed. But use this time as a family time. That's what I love so much about this time of year. Ella and I both kind of like our nesters. We kind of like to settle in on the holidays and just enjoy the comfort and the coziness of our home. And I wish that for all of you. My heart today goes out to the family of the West Virginia coal miner who, after an extensive search, was found to be deceased. This man's a real hero. He made provision for all 17 of his miners that were under his watch. He was a foreman. They all got out safely, but he did not. So I pray sincerely for the family of this gentleman. I believe his name was Lipscomb. But my grandfather was a coal miner. My uncles were coal miners at one time or another. I've had many, many friends, especially hunting friends in West Virginia and Virginia, that are still coal miners. And it's a dangerous job. A very dangerous job, a job that's very necessary. My power is on here in my home, and I'm able to talk to you on this microphone because of coal miners. So my heart goes out to that family today. Well, I'm going to wrap this up for this week. We'll try to have a little more for you next week. Appreciate so much the continued support that we get from this podcast. We appreciate Buddy Woodbury with W Hunting Supply. Buddy is just a great guy to work with. He has a great company there. Customer service is second to none. And just so thankful to be on the W Hunting Supply podcast platform here. And I also want to thank my friend, Big Mark Zepp. Mark was on here a couple issues back as we did our tribute to John Wick. Thanks, Big Mark, for all you do. I got a chance to use that Eagle Coon Squatter up in Pennsylvania. Good job, buddy. Good job. All right, this is the old coon hunter, Steve Fielder, telling you that if you miss me, I'm gone to the dogs.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue.
Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.